From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Jessica Kensky and Patrick Downs were newlyweds and spectators at the 2013 Boston Marathon. They were at the finish line, cheering on other runners when the bombs went off. Patrick lost his left leg. Jessica eventually lost both legs. The blast was followed by countless surgeries, rounds of physical therapy, and some very dark days. Then they added another member to their family, a black lab named Rescue. Rescue is a therapy dog and the subject of Jessica and Patrick's New York Times best-selling children's book, Rescue and Jessica, a life-changing friendship. And they're among the authors who are going to be at the Savannah Book Festival next weekend. Joining me now from Boston. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for having us.
So is Rescue going to bark for us, or is he, you know, he only does radio when his contract permits?
Ready? Speak. Good boy. Good job. Good boy. That's him saying, you know, hello, good morning, and he can't wait to come down, y'all.
So glad to meet Rescue and the pair of you who've been through just an amazing, amazing journey. If you can bring us back a little bit, how long had you been married actually before the Boston Marathon?
We had been married 6 or 7 months. We were married in August of 2012. We had been together for a while. We dated for about 6 years, and I took a little too long to pop the question. But we had done a lot of long distance and finally had moved to Cambridge, Massachusetts, where Jess was a nurse at Mass General, and I was in a doctorate program for psychology. And so we were just so happy to be together. Hmm. I had just gotten an internship out in San Francisco for psychology, and so we were going to move out there in the summer of 2013. And wanted to go the marathon one last time because without knowing it, we both ran the marathon in 2005. And we loved running. A lot of our first dates were running. And so we just wanted to go and be a part of what I think is the best day in the city.
Well, and it was a day that forever changed your lives, certainly that April 5th of 2013. For you, both of you, after the bombing, losing two limbs in Jessica's case, one in yours, you were living for 3 years at Walter Reed Hospital in Maryland. It's pretty statistically, let's say, hard for relationships to survive traumatic events. How did you guys stay connected in the aftermath?
That's a great question, and I actually have found that a lot of people assume that both of us going through such a traumatic event together would bring you closer together, and I think the opportunity is there to become closer when anybody goes through a traumatic event together, but I think more often than not, trauma does pull people apart, whether it's, you know, losing a child or a terrible car accident or something like what we went through, because you're still two different individuals who are trying to cope the best they can individually, and then to do that together within a marriage is really hard. And then throwing in Patrick more often than not was the caretaker role and I was the patient role, it just, or the whole dynamic changed, and for a very long time. So we're very open about it. In addition to doing good things for ourselves, like bringing Rescue into our lives, we've done a lot of individual therapy and marriage counseling and psychiatry work. And I think that I credit that as the only real reason we're still together today. Because there were many times where it, you know, it puts a lot of stress. And if you have a little crack in the foundation, I think it's very easy to just completely lose each other in all of this.
So Rescue was part of not just keeping your physical sense of safety and connection together, but emotional. When did Rescue first come into your lives?
So I applied for him from my hospital bed in, you know, the weeks after the bombing. And I remember having the phone call with one of the women in charge of the service dog program needs. They're actually in central Massachusetts. And she said, you know, ma'am, we'd love to help you, but we're going to need for you to get out of the hospital first. Mm. And so I waited until, you know, the day I got discharged, and I called and let her know I was out. Please process my application. So Rescue joined our family officially September after the bombing, which for a lot of people would have been too early after such a major life-changing event. At the time, neither Patrick or I realized how much medical care and interventions we were going to need. Still, we kind of thought we were done. But we got him that fall. And the purpose in my mind was I was going to be navigating this world completely differently. And anything that was there as an assistive device, you know, just like I was using wheelchair and crutches, I thought this service dog was going to help me in a very physical sense. And I think none of us anticipated all of the additional ways he would help us emotionally. Mm. And, you know, I tell people he is a service dog for someone with a physical disability. And that is his primary function. But there happens to be all these other amazing things. You know, just the fact that I think rescue needs to be exercised and taken out and fed and loved gave me a new focus. I was a nurse when I was hurt and all of a sudden wasn't able to work. And so I think to have a new place to put that time and energy and taking him outside and exercising him was also getting Patrick and I off the couch and getting us outside and to go down on the bike trail or to throw a ball and do these activities that I think we wouldn't have done.
That's Jessica Kensky. She and Patrick Downs are author of the book Rescue and Jessica, A Life-Changing Friendship. Well, Patrick, what were you saying? Jessica said that you were mostly the caretaker. What did you see when Jessica was going through this and then rescue came into your lives?
Each day was an exhausting struggle, both physically and psychologically. We would be running around the city, going to doctor's appointments, having a lot of consultations as to whether or not Jess could keep her lower right leg. We didn't really know what the future held for us, and we were exhausted by it. And the day we got rescue, I can still picture him bounding through the door at the service dog organization. And we bursted out laughing. Hmm. Jess was laughing. I was laughing. Her sister, her father. We were just, and this feeling came through our bodies that was unrecognizable in some ways, that we hadn't had that kind of joy and laughter for a really long time. So it felt like we were experiencing it for the first time. And also for our extended family, to give them something to laugh about, to give us something to talk about that was a safe topic.
Hmm.
Most of what we talked about in those times were so loaded. And even something that you thought was innocuous ended up being loaded in some way.
Yeah, and then you wrote this book focusing on an 11-year-old character named Jessica. Mm-hmm. Her disability does mirror yours in real life, but with one noticeable difference. Her amputations were not related to a traumatic event like the Boston Marathon bombing. Why did you decide to skip that in your book, Jessica?
It was something that Patrick and I don't even know that we formally talked about it. I just think we both knew it was not where we wanted to put our time and energy. And you have so few words and so few pages to tell this story that that's not the remarkable part of the Jessica and Rescue story. And you don't really know as the reader, unless you read, you know, the back matter, you really don't know why that character is in the hospital and what's going on. You know she's not healthy. You know the doctors say in order to be healthy again, we need to remove this sick part of your body. But that's not where the amazing part of the story happens. You know, it's what happens after that and how she and Rescue begin to navigate this new world again. And, you know, it does mirror mine in that I thought I was getting better with that first amputation and the worst was behind me. And then to have to go back and make the horrible decision to amputate my second remaining leg and start over was just so terrible to do, horrible for people to watch, and felt like starting over at the beginning again and everything is twice as hard. And I think kids might not relate to a double amputation, but growing up is tough, and being an adult is tough, frankly. But, you know, I think they can relate to the practicing and trying again and feeling like you've mastered something only to find out you've actually been defeated and you need to start over.
Mm.
So we just felt like these were the themes that are important to share with young children. And the book was really born out of Patrick and I being in public spaces in all different phases of our recovery. With no prosthetic, with prosthetics, in crutches, in a wheelchair. And we drew a lot of attention from young children. And I didn't know what to do or what to say. I think my instinct was to hide these horrific injuries and hide this terrible story from young children. And Patrick's training in psychology and his work with children, he knew that you could and should be honest with kids.
You mean like they would come up to you and or stare at your legs or your prosthetics
yeah.
and wonder
absolutely.
What it was
Totally. In an elevator. In an elevator, a little kid would say, but where did your legs like these go? And they would point to their skin and their muscles and their feet and their tissue. And I knew exactly what they meant. And I would look up to the parent thinking, my God, what do you want me to say here? They were blown off. You know, they are then put in an incinerator. I'm not going to tell that to a young child. And you don't need to be horrifically graphic. But Patrick really led the way on how to have an important interaction.
How did you both decide to make the character a child?
Well, we thought that that's what kids could really resonate with, and they could see a piece of themselves in her. In fact, we've had some friends read the book, and then their young daughters will ask to have their hair done like Jessica's in the book.
Aww.
And I thought that that was the coolest thing, because they had, we, you know, for our dear friends, we know that they talk to them, their children, about Jess's legs and her prosthetics and rescue. But then there was clearly something that they saw in Jessica that was heroic.
I think also it came because Patrick and I felt like children. We were adults, we were newlyweds, but our parents were at our bedsides. Our parents were making huge decisions for us when we weren't able to. I felt I needed help with all these things that I hadn't needed help with, going to the bathroom and bathing and, you know, things that reminded me the last time my mom helped me with that, I was a child. So it was a time where we felt those ages again. But it was definitely, I think, guidance of working with our illustrator, Scott Magoon, and our publisher, Candlewick, who they felt like it was important to change the age of Jessica in the book.
Yeah.
And I think it was the right move for sure.
So it's made for kids who are 5 to 9, but obviously, you know, there are a lot more people who follow you than that. But what is it like when you are in an audience, you're doing book events like the Savannah Book Festival and speaking to a crowd of kids? What is their response when they're seeing you talk and standing up on your prosthetic legs and meeting rescue?
I feel like Justin Timberlake sometimes. It's like, oh, this must be what it's like to be, you know, some kind of rock star, because they'll, you know, great schools or great libraries will have prep kids, you know, so they'll put up posters or they'll have read the book in advance or done some research into prosthetics. And Rescue will walk into the library or auditorium and the kids say, oh, there's Rescue. There he is. And say, oh, that's Jessica. And they want to slap your hand, they want to check Rescue out, they want to pet him, they want to talk to him, they want to talk to us. And you can tell that they're just bursting to learn. And that's what I've always found charming about children, is their curiosity is just boundless. And if you trust them and trust that endeavor, you can go to some amazing places. And we've really tried to do that in our presentations and be really honest with kids and welcome any question that comes to their mind and help them work through it. We might not always have the answer, but you know, together I think we can get to a better place. And we've never ceased to be amazed by their questions and curiosity and compassion. Mm-hmm. Like that, we don't have to teach them the compassion. It's just so innate in them that they want to. They see this young girl who has been through a really difficult experience, and they want to care for her. Or they want to find some way to care for people like that in their community. And it's just such a powerful lesson in how we should all be toward each other.
Jessica, how about for you? What do you tell kids now? Not at these events where it's, you know, kind of set up, but some kid on the elevator who asks, what happened to your legs?
Yeah, I think I'm a lot more comfortable in that space and more confident in my ability to answer that in an honest but age-appropriate way. And this book has really become a tool. I think the way that we were received, you know, we did a 10-city book tour. So I knew we'd be well received in Boston because Boston has just loved and buoyed us since the very beginning of this. But to see how our book was going to be received on the West Coast, where they don't think about the Boston Marathon bombing that often anymore, was just really remarkable. And that we went from maybe me being in a grocery store and I could hear a kid really loudly, you know, they asked their questions so loud, Mom, what happened to that lady's legs? And I went from that situation where the parent usually kind of ushered the child out of the store or said, don't look or don't ask. And I felt like, why? I shouldn't be ashamed. This is how I look. It was nothing that I did wrong. I think it's important for kids to learn about what we've been through and our resilience. So I went from that to parents going out of their way to expose their kids to this story in this book. And I think that it just shows they were just looking for the tool to do that, that no one had the words or the way or the how. But once you do it, they really just leap on it. And I agree with everything Patrick said. But the other thing about these book festivals is that we'll get a lot of adults because that's usually who's, you know, we're not at a school. And so a lot of parents will be there. And I feel like they were longing for an explanation or to feel better about not just the Boston Marathon bombing, but all the trauma and tragedy that seems to happen more and more frequently in our world. We did a book reading not long ago, and it was all adults. And we did a book signing. And I said to Patrick, are you going to read the book? Because he reads it, and he does a special voice for Rescue, which the kids in Savannah get ready. It's really something. And I said, like, are you going to do the voice? And you're going to read to all these grownups. And as I was watching him read, I was thinking, like, it's been so long since someone's read to these adults. We don't do that anymore. And it really just seemed like this peaceful, quiet time where people were really reflective, and I don't know, it was really special. I just think that we've been surprised by, you know, we wrote it with a certain age group in mind, but I think a lot more than that age group's gotten something out of it.
Yeah, Jessica Kensky, Patrick Downs, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Well, as we said, they will be at the Savannah Book Festival next week on Sunday, the 17th, from 1 to 4 in the children's tent. But on Saturday at 2, they will be at the Savannah Library. On Second Thought is going to be there. On Friday night, I will be interviewing Daniel Krauthammer, who took over from his father, the famed political columnist and commentator Charles Krauthammer, the job of pulling together a bunch of essays, some of which have never before been read or seen, and put it together in a book called The Point of It All. So I will be speaking about that. All of the festival activities and our related interviews you could find at gbbnews.org. Well, that is our show for today. On Second Thought is produced by Elena Rivera, Leighton Rowell, LaRaven Taylor, and Amelia Brock. Alec Caslow is our engineer, Don Smith, our dean of grammar, and Amy Kiley, senior producer. We always love to hear from you. We're on Facebook and we're on Twitter at OST Talk, or you can email us at onsecondthought@gpb.org. I'm Virginia Prescott. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. This is On Second Thought.